Good morning to each and every listener of the broadcast. I'm certainly happy to be coming your way once again with the short gospel message. Listen to this verse from Jude. Now, of course, Jude only has one chapter. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. That sounds to me like victory, dear ones. And we're glad that there is victory through Christ, that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. But there's a very serious question which I'd like to ask today, and there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about it. And that is this. Does a person continue to live in sin after they are born again or saved? Do they still live in sin? Well, you know what sin is, don't you? That it's a transgression of God's law and will. And perhaps you remember that Adam and Eve, placed there in the Garden of Eden, they were created without sin, and yet because of their disobedience, sin passed upon them and upon all mankind because they disobeyed. So, some folks believe that we continue to live in sin every day in thought, word, and deed. Now, is this really true, or is this a misconception that we might have of what the scriptures teach? Well, listen to this scripture, Romans 3:23. This would help bear out the thought that, well, let me give it to you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So, it's true that everyone has sinned. No one is born free from sin. Well, I believe it does mention about John the Baptist being born filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. But then again, here in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Is this your experience? And are you saved? Well, saved from what? Are you born again? Are you made a child of God? And do you continue to live in sin? Is this really the experience that you have? In fact, I'm reminded of what some folks think about this Romans 7 and 15. This seems to indicate their experience. And I'm just asking the question now, is this really God's plan? Listen, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Looks like this writer here was in a lot of trouble. He didn't want to do it, and yet he did do it. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Looks like it'd be like the story that they tell about the little boy that whistled in school, and the teacher questioned him about it and wanted to know. He said, no, he didn't do that. Said, it just came out. The whistle just came out, you know, voluntarily. So that's the way this is. Sin just comes out voluntarily. Not I, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, friends, I say indeed, that would be a sad experience to want to do right, to want to live for God, to want to serve him, and yet sin have dominion over that person. Now, I just do not, cannot believe that that is a fulfillment of the plan of God for our lives. If so, then why did Christ shed his blood if it was not to save from sin? Why the suffering, the agony of the Son of God? Why the shedding of his blood? Now, let's go a little further in this book of Romans. I fear that some people stop far too soon. They're talking about the law, and here the writer is talking about the law and how that the law gave the commandments not to do thus and thus, and yet the power was not there to overcome the thing that was wrong, and so they lived in sin. But friends, I declare to you this day that that is not the plan for God's people. There is a better plan than that. Look at Romans 8 and 1. The reading there just didn't go far enough in the 7th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So I say, there's a better plan. It goes on. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All right, if you're going to live in the flesh and after the law, and after your own flesh and lust, of course, you're going to be filled with sin and live in sin all the days of your life, so long as you continue therein. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, I say there's a better experience, there's a better life, there's a better way of living. Just like this original text that I gave you to begin with said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this day that through the blood of Christ we have remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, and they're blotted out. And God forbid, just like Romans, let's go again to the 6th chapter of Romans and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, the better way, the better covenant, the eternal covenant of Christ for the remission of sins is pointed out. And then it said, what about it? Are we just going to continue in sin? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, that is the better way. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Oh, go read this. Read these verses here in this 6th chapter of Romans sometime, all the way down to, and let me just give you the final verse that I really would like to read. It's a little lengthy to read it all, but look at verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I declare to you that if you're serving the Lord in sincerity and in truth, that there is a better way, and you can be delivered from your sins. You don't have to live under the bondage of sin every day in thought, word, and deed. That'd be a sad experience, wouldn't it? To think, well, I'd like to do right. I want to serve the Lord, but oh, this sin just won't let me. I'm reminded of an aged man that I met in the post office one day, and I asked him about being saved and all. Well, he says, I'd like to do right and all, but the people are so wicked that just can't do this and on, so on and on. Well, I tell you, friends, the Lord has a better plan for His people. And I'm glad that He does. I'm glad to report to you that you can be saved from your sins and have them blotted out right here in this world. There's a story which tells a writer of going with a party down into a coal mine. On the side of the gangway grew a plant which was perfectly white. The visitors were astonished that there, where the coal dust was continually flying, this little plant should be so pure and white. A miner who was with them took a handful of the black dust and threw it upon the plant, but not a particle adhered. Every atom of the dust rolled off. The visitors themselves repeated the experiment, but the coal dust would not cling. There was a wonderful enamel on the folds of the white plant to which the finest specks could not adhere. As it lived there, amid clouds of black dust, nothing could stain the snowy whiteness. If He can keep a flower stainless, white as snow, amid clouds of black dust, can He not keep your heart in like purity in this world of sin? Surely, friends, the power of God is able to save, and it is able to keep. The threads you use, oh, what are you weaving your life today? No, of what are you weaving your life today? Of fast-fading pleasures or joys that stay? Do you want it completed in lovely hues? It will all depend on the threads you use. Take only the best from the maze you find, the threads that will strengthen your heart and mind, just threads you're sure of beyond a doubt, durable threads that will not wear out. You will want some colorful, gay, and bright, beautiful too, but they must be right. No snags, no knots, no colors that run to make you ashamed in the days to come. Some of the threads should be sturdy and plain, the better we know to withstand the strain of the noonday sun and the scalding tears that are sure to come with the passing years. To all of your threads you must add some gold, the wealth of God's love. It will make them whole. For in weaving a life of beautiful hues, it always depends on the threads you use. Friends, I say you can live a victorious life in Christ if you will commit yourself unto Him. Our Father, bless the message this day to the good of every listener, and help us to know that the power of God is not only able to save from sin, but to keep our hearts and minds and soul from day to day. And for that which is accomplished, we'll surely give you the praise in Jesus' name. Oh, friends, I'm glad for the better life. Thank you for a few moments of your time. We trust that you may sink down deep into the will of God and not live after the flesh, but live after the Spirit. Be with us again next Sunday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.